produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, it is a hello morning, a hello day, and thanking God for all of our wellness today. My name is Wyvonia Woods Harris, and I am a part of the Finding My Way Network, as Ms. Kayla Padgett is our CEO and founder. My program, Wise Ways of Wellness, really focuses on how we handle some of our life problems. Right now, we are looking at how we are dealing with grief and the ways that God has given us and provided for us to just deal with those situations. As you know, I usually tell you, I try to find some bullet points of things that we would like to talk about. And the things that we are talking about today is healing grief touch and watch cares. I was very delighted to understand that the network Finding My Way is really looking at how they can provide more cares for others in dealing with the ministries and the many ministries of this organization. It blesses me daily as I hear all of the wonderful things. But as I am getting close to another birthday, I really wanted to focus on today healing and watching. And recently I attended several retreat and workshops on surviving and caring and how to, the courage for caregivers. Along with at my church, Redemption Church, where my pastors, Devin and Samantha Westbrook, are leading us through how we are dealing with some of the situations daily on healing and most certainly grief. We don't have to tell you how many times and how many people are being affected daily with so many grief issues and all of the things that God is having to provide for us, and He is providing to give us sustenance. So I'm going to read Psalm 73:28, because I really feel like it shares what I am feeling today as I talk about wise ways of wellness and the healing. In the Psalm 73:28 says, "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." And that comes from the Holy Bible, King James Version. And one of the things, the other resources that I'm using at this time to comment on this subject, one of the first one is Healing the Whole Man Handbook, Effective Prayers for Body, Soul, and Spirit. This was written by Joan Hunter and was revised in 2005 and 6. And then I spoke a few minutes ago about Courage for Caregivers, Sustenance for the Journey, in company with Henry Nouwen. This was written by Marjorie J. Thompson in 2017. So I was very blessed to attend that retreat that she provided for us. And one of the things that we have to talk about is healing and how we are affected, mind, body, and soul. And as I like to say, soul, self, soul, and spirit. We're dealing with this situation. Another book that I am using is Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? And this one is written by Philip Yancey. And, of course, I quote very often because I have my book available, Skies of Myself, Soul and Spirit, Psalms for Delight and Devotion. And that's Wyvonia Woods Harris, and that was published in 2015. So let's just talk about five things in this time that's been allotted. And I praise God and thank God for Ms. Paget and also for the UN Moving and all of the sponsors, so many people, just being available and always giving their all in all of the things that this network is doing. So I started out with one of the subjects in my table of content, and the contents, God's Marvelous Work. This has to be a starting point. This has to be the place that we seek first as we are dealing with healing grief and using touch to care and also watching some of the things that are going on and how looking at how we can make it better. Now, when I say wise ways of wellness, I'm very careful to say that these ways are accomplished by God's ways. And so it's not anything that I've done that's so spectacular. It's the things that God has done in his marvelous work to make it available for us. I was listening to a song, God is Able. And I thought about not only is he able, but he's also available. And so what an awesome opportunity just to give him all of the glory for the things that he's doing. But in this Psalm 73:28, but for me it is good to be near God. And so I think one of the things that when we talk about being near God is being able to witness his marvelous work so that we're able to be effective witnesses. And in that witnessing for grief, I'm also a part of an organization where we are looking at how we can just help people to understand the importance of having conversations for living and dying well. And so I try so often to bring those two points together to use them as a way of healing, a way of facilitating what God is doing day in and day out. So we look at wise ways of wellness, and I'm just going to, right now for this day, I'm going to really focus on God's ways of wellness and for the way that we will go forward on this. I'm very pleased to be able to look at how God is using each one of us. Each one of us, there's something to do. And I even thought about, I've been looking at the 8 prayer watches. And I presented that to our church in a Bible class. And I just want to share with you these 8 prayer watches as we begin, because it is what we talk about, God's marvelous work. And so when we look at the prayer watch 1, a time for quiet reflection and a period for covenant renewal with God. Remember, prayer watch 1 is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and it is a time for quiet reflection and period for covenant renewal with God. So you see God's working in all of that as we are watching the things that he's doing so that we can be better at healing, looking at the touch that we need to give. And then we look to, and I said it right now, I said listening to the Lord, because that most certainly is the next step. And as we see God's work and we're looking at his work, we can't do anything unless we are listening to what he has to say to us before we speak to him. And so prayer watch 2 is a time for divine judgments, deliverance. We pray for the economy. We pray for tearing down walls of darkness. And so we see, when we talk about Psalms, Psalm 59 and also Psalm 68, 1 through 4. These are ways that we can listen to God, and I say that quite often. We need to listen with our eyes. And we, as we are reading, even though we have so much information and so many Bible applications online that we are able to listen to, we also want to be sure and just focus in on looking and looking at the Word as we listen to it. And so this time between 9 p.m. and 12 is what is called Prayer Watch 2. And we thank God for that, of the ability to be able to watch His work, also to listen to His work, and use it as our way of being able to share care. Number three, Prayer Watch, is time of much spiritual activity. This watch hour will strengthen your faith. This watch calls for seasoned intercessors, and I really consider myself an intercessor as one of my gifts that God has given me to share. So I most certainly want to talk about seasoned intercessors and the work and the activity that they're responsible for. We're just looking at how we can strengthen our faith. And we most certainly as intercessors cannot strengthen our faith until we realize what God has already given us. And so we go back to those, the first two, God's marvelous work and listening to the Lord. And then on Prayer Watch 4, I want to go to, I'm sorry, 3, I want to go to this watch calling for our seasoned intercessors, 12 and 3, and then 4, this is a time to command your morning. This is a time for declaring God's word. This is a time for angelic activity or intervention. So I have in as one of the chapter titles, Healing in the House. And I want to just talk about healing in the house, because when we read the Bible, we see so many times where that is, it plays such an important part of the work that not only did Jesus do, but also the work of the disciples, and now our responsibility as healing in the house. So as a seasoned intercessor, we start prayer sometimes at 6 o'clock with a group of women and men, and it comes through the lines, the telephone, so it's in different places. Some of it is in their homes. Some of it we know that they're driving to work, and some of them are at work and are able to listen to it before they start their work. So this time between 3 and 6 a.m., as we are commanding our morning, as we are looking at the angelic activity. Now, I know that we talked about the time that God strengthens Christians. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to prepare us for service, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And so many times this is a regular time that we are preparing for work. And I think it's so important that as we are finding people that we've heard of that are in grief situations, that we stop and really do think about as we are preparing to go out into the areas and go into our work areas, that we do ask God to help and give them strength. Because so many people wake up with such a heavy heart because of illnesses, because of losses, different losses, not always loss of family members and friends, but just losses of activities, of limbs, and things like that. So I always say that we really need to take that time from 6 to 9 and know that God is strengthening us. He tells us in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. So this is a perfect time to use that strength that God is giving us as we prepare for service. put an important word, prepare for service. Because when you are touching and watching and caring for others, that is God's way of knowing that we are prepared and working on the service that he has given to us. He delivers us to us day by day. I read this morning where we do 100,000 heartbeats a day, and it asks the question, what are we doing with that? Those heartbeats? And so each heartbeat, so many times, there's so many people that are being what we call heartbroken and just need our prayers, our intercessory prayer. And then we go to 9 to 12 as our prayer watch, time to see God's promise fulfilled and to reflect on the power of the cross. The power of the cross. This is healing. This is healing. I think about all the things that when Jesus was working and healing and preaching and teaching and the touches that he was doing that we are now responsible for as he has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. So the healing touch, and I've said it over and over again, in the case of grief, in the case of those that are hurting, the touch is so important. And you have to realize there are times that you will not be able to touch everyone, but just touch them with the word and the conversation and the dialogue that you give to God in prayer. So we take advantage of that. And we always want to reflect on the power of the cross. It's so important. We sing those songs down at the cross, near the cross. Just being in God's power and in his presence, and that is so important in order to have prosperity, forgiveness, and strength. And so in this time six, this is between 9 and 12 noon. So the next one I want to talk to you about is when worship works. There are times that we will be in praise, and then there are some times that we have to get still and get quiet. I know I do. When I'm looking at worshiping with God, I have to get quiet and think about how all of the marvelous things that he's done. And worship is, we're worshiping him not so much that all the things that he has given him, but we're worshiping God because he is worthy. And he is worthy because he has given us not only our teacher and healer, but he has given us our Lord Savior. So when worship works, thinking about on Prayer Watch 7, time to seek the Lord and rest during this watch. It is our time for a secret place of the Most High. And we know we hear that scripture, Psalm 91, of looking at the Most High and realizing that we are in the secret place of the Lord. This goes between 12 noon and 3 p.m. And I think that we, even when we talk about worship, it's so important to know that your style of worship or your worship and the way that you give glory to God may not be in line with the person even sitting or standing next to you, but the God in his wisdom, as he has given us wisdom, he gives us the ability to worship him for who he is. We look for that quiet time with him. We look for the faithfulness that we get from him. We look for just sometimes calling his name. That's a form of worship because God and Jesus Christ they're worthy of everything that we give to him. Everything that we give, he's a divine redeemer. And that is so important to realize that when you are needing to help somebody, help them in their healing, help them with their grief, help them, just caring for them. There are many ways that you will be able to care, but you always have to put God's marvelous work first. You always have to listen to the Lord. You always have to realize that healing in the house is a place that God, wherever God has set us for his setup and for the works that he is doing. So that's why we worship him. We worship him. As we look at the eighth one, time to watch and pray. We watch for the Lord's plans and look to make sure that we are not being deceived. Be always, always on watch as you pray. Always be praying while you watch. So as I am coming to the end of this session, I want to say again, I want to thank God for Miss Kayla. I call her my wildlife, for the UN Moving Company, for all of the participants. I call them survivors and care sharers that are a part of Finding My Way. I just want to thank God for that opportunity and for that way that God has of bringing things forward. Again, I'm going to tell you the resources: Healing the Whole Man Handbook, Effective Prayers for Body, Soul, and Spirit. And that's Joan Hunter, and it was revised in 2005 and 6. The next one is Courage for Caregivers, Sustenance for the Journey, in company with Henry J. Nouwen, and that was written by Marjorie Thompson in 2017. She also has a retreat participant workbook that goes with that book, and I was blessed to have both of those after attending the workshop, and I am using them quite often just for my own situation, as I am a caregiver for my husband. And then Philip Yancey asked the question, does it make a difference? I believe so. I have to put in my little part and say yes, yes, yes. As I get to the part to end this session, I want to use a grace connection. A grace connection. Prayer is a grace connection, and it works for healing. It works when you find yourself in a situation of grief, and it works when you find some others as an intercessor. You are responsible for what God has given to you to give to others. Psalm 73:28. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. What a powerful connection grace is for grief. What a powerful opportunity to be a part of a healing atmosphere and to give God all of the glory in the mighty things that he does. He keeps us day in and day out. He shows us his way. And I thank him daily for all of the things that he gives to us as we go day by day looking into what we can do, looking at how we can help others. There's a way. Cares. Can you look at that? And you know, as I'm focusing on this number five, I look at the fact that there are many five-letter words that God has given us to help us as we go through daily living, all the activities. And so I see, as I am looking at five-letter words of grief and watch. And today I actually added cares. I've seen that before. But when you put the S on care, you get a five-letter word. And most certainly God is giving us all of those things. Also, when you put the S on works, so it becomes powerful as we continue to help each other to heal and help each other as we continue intercessory prayer. Let us pray. O Lord my God, how excellent is thy name in all of the world. Lord, we praise and magnify you, and we do not forget your benefits. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just call your name, knowing that there is a sweet, sweet name, a healing balm that comes from knowing who you are and calling your name and acknowledging it. Lord, let us continue to see your marvelous work. Let us continue to listen to you. Let us continue to know that when we are expecting healing in the house, that it comes when we are giving worship and praise. We thank you for this grace connection of Finding My Way. All of the families that are involved in this work that's being done, all of the families that are being involved in the care. These are the things that we thank God and we lift them up to him. As we close off today, as I said again, we are watching out when and while we pray. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
I would like to say greetings to everyone out there in radio land. Hey, I am your host, DJ Matt Cummins, on this wonderful, inspirational gospel mix show. Hey, we're going to take it back to the old school today. Get up, get your praise on, listen to the words in the song, and right now, we are live right here on Finding My Way Radio Network. Let's go!
It's time to get up and get your praise on with the Turntable Minister, DJ Matt Cummins.
Get ready to put you up in the Kingdom Gospel Mix with yours truly, DJ Matt Cummins. Turn up the volume and let me take you back into time. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this back in the day Gospel Mix.
Yo, it's DJ Mack.
You hit it first.
DJ Mack on the ones and twos.
Lord, don't take your joy from me. Say,
gospel music with yours truly, DJ Mac Cummins, giving you that exclusive back-in-the-day gospel mix. To all my listeners in Radio Land that's loving this gospel mix and feel like praising him because he has been so good to you, I want you to hallelujah at me as we count down in the name of Jesus. Y'all ready? Come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I just wanna praise you
forever. Come on.
Forever.
Well, I got
dismiss or prosper. I'm more than a conqueror. Can I get a witness up in here?
Yeah. destroy your soul, and he's trying hard to deceive. But if you trust in the word of God, only truth, you will believe.
You still up in the gospel mix with yours truly, Mac Cummins, taking you back, I mean way back, back in the time. Don't wait till the battle is over, shout now. You know at the end, come on again, let's go!
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
This call is being recorded.
You hear me?
All right.
Shalom, shalom. Greetings from around the world. And I would like to give all thanks, honor, and glory to our Elohim. And I would like to thank God for Sister Visionary and CEO, Sister Caleb Padgett, for this wonderful, wonderful broadcast, ministering to people all around the world, and her wonderful staff, her team that's helping to make this a wonderful message each and every week that's going forth to the listeners, the people of faith, the ones who trust and love in our Elohim. And I just thank you all on today. Thank you all for tuning in to Ministry Moments with Pastor R and C. Denise, Dr. C. Denise Richardson here on Finding Your Way Ministries Network. And I would like to just share with you all today a little bit on spiritual growth, the Great Commission. Spiritual growth, the Great Commission. When we preach the gospel, we must preach the gospel to every creature on the planet. those who say that they are found, those who are lost. We must preach to those who are, you know, spiritually cast out, you know, and cast down. And we must also cast out devils by speaking in our unknown tongue, our spiritual language that we speak to our Elohim through. That's called spiritual tongues. And we have to speak in that unknown language to our God, our Elohim, so the enemy cannot capture those prayers. Because when we speak in our heavenly language, the enemy cannot understand it. And it gets directly through the second heaven and enters into the third heaven. So we must also be equipped with the whole armor of God. That in that way, when we're attacked by the enemy, or if someone is in our family or our circle are being attacked by the enemy, we can cast out those devils. We can lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. And we shall lay our hands on those people and they shall be loose from whatever it is, from whatever sickness that may be trying to attack them through the spiritual world. We must also understand that spiritual growth will cause us to move forward and to, you know, catapult ourselves or just be launched into that great commission. And one of those great commissions is for us to go out and teach the nations to observe all that Yeshua has commanded, you know, us to do, because we are his staff, we are his ambassadors to the kingdom, because the kingdom is continually being manifested in the earth today through everyone who's out here on the battlefield, teaching, ministering, preaching, you know, living a life of faith, doing those things so we can represent our Elohim and Yeshua, Jesus Christ, in the earth. And, you know, we must understand that this day and time, you know, no matter how rough or how tough it gets, it's time to bring the body together, to do all the commission, you know, to do the whole commission. You know, I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 29 here quickly. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And I'm going to share this scripture with you as we move forward. Chapter 29, verse 18, and it reads this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he that keeps the law. So when we understand his law, we understand wisdom. We understand how to operate in the realm of the spirit. And his law is what keep us, you know, rooted and buckled down to what we're trying to do. And without a vision of God's way, there would not be enough to accomplish the commission. You know, that's in Ephesians. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. You know, without his supreme authority and law, it's most definitely going to be impossible for us to fulfill the Great Commission. I know a lot of us have, you know, our own ways of teaching and ministering, but when we get into his word, when we understand the prophecies that's in the word of God, we will understand every tool that has been given to us to help bring the people of faith together, to bring the body, the 12 tribes of Israel together, so we all will be operating under this same umbrella of faith. Because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So without a vision of God's way, there would not be enough to accomplish the commission. Okay? Money,
amen. Amen.
Goes to every creature. We must go. The anointing to bring the lost to him. We must be overshadowed and overpowered by the anointing. The anointing hands on the sick to cast out demons and to teach nations.
Amen. That, Pastor R, that is so profound. And I want to greet CEO and visionary Caleb Padgett. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this moment, ministry moment,
amen,
with Pastor Right. And Dr. Richardson, we're so thankful for you and your entire staff, Pastor R, the great commission. It's such a blessing. And what I want to add to that, just real briefly, is that the Great Commission cannot be fulfilled solely in the brick and mortar. There are so many great things that occur in the building, in the synagogue, in the church building, in the temple, whatever it is that we're in our homes where we have built an altar to memorialize our relationship, our covenant with the great Yahuwah. However, the Great Commission is best fulfilled in the world. It cannot be confined to solely a building. Yes, we can prosper and thrive and do great things within the building, but in order to maximize our authority, his anointing, we need to do this outside of the four walls. We must allow the world to see, not only to hear what we're saying, but actually to see the fruit, our fruit, because the word tells us that, you know, our fruit will be judged. It is what we do for him. Those are the only things that will last. And to, in order to fulfill the Great Commission in sharing the gospel, the good news of Yeshua, our Messiah, our promised Messiah, we must do this in places that we wouldn't ordinarily feel comfortable. And sometimes we become comfortable in our church buildings, these great Ephesus. We feel comfortable in our homes. We feel comfortable in religious settings. However, Yeshua did not remain in religious settings. He was the living word, and this word thrived within him, and he shared it. He traveled more than any human I know. And in doing that, he shared and he spread, he fulfilled the Great Commission. So I want to admonish as well as encourage our brothers and sisters around the world to not hold hostage your gifting, your ability to speak the truth in love, to share Yeshua's great mandate only in our comfort zones. We have to get out, and we have to, it's more so about what we do, because for those people who won't touch a Bible, for those people who, quote unquote, have experienced church hurt, when it's really not necessarily church hurt, it's, you know, people who have hurt us, but, you know, offenses will come. You know, Yeshua was hurt more than any of us, and, you know, he continued to trust Yah. So I want to encourage us to remember the Great Commission. And as I often say, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. This is what Paul said for us to do, to be an open book, to be up for ridicule and correction, and even from time to time, condemnation. He has not condemned us, but people will bring a spirit of condemnation. But I would encourage you again, I say, to get out and to actually fulfill the Great Commission. I'm so very excited to have some time some time to meditate and to really recall what this is, and to see where I am missing the mark, because I am still pressing toward that mark. People, believe it or not, who have not been exposed to the true light, to who Yahuwah really is. And what I mean by that is they've only watched hypocrisy, and it's, or they've experienced great and tremendous tumultuous situations and experiences in their lives growing up, as did I. And so sometimes our perspective, our relationship with Yahuwah in its perfect state has been damaged and fragmented. But, you know, there's hope even in that. If we take time to you know, get to know him in an authentic way, allow that organic relationship to blossom. Allow him to place us in the fire for refinement so that we can be better equipped and better used by him rather than our flesh or the kingdom of darkness. So I'm excited about what you're speaking on today, Pastor R. I'm excited about actually getting back in and fulfilling the Great Commission, because visionary and CEO Kayla Padgett at such a young age has taken on this this mandate and has done it on a whole different level as a young woman, starting out at 13 and then at 16, taking on such a massive assignment. And she trusted Yahuwah in that, in fulfilling the Great Commission. And she also does this by embracing the entire world, because this is what Yeshua did. He died not for this one specific group of people, but for us all, in the hopes that we would accept it and be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Pastor R.
All right, all right. And here's the outline of the Great Commission. You know, later he had appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. If those signs and these signs will follow those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And see, when we're speaking in new tongues, when we're laying the hands on the sick, when we really allow the anointing of our Elohim to rest on us, that power is released. That power is released in the area of wealth. The power was released in the area of healing. The power was released in the area of deliverance. The power is released in the area of manifestation, because his anointing is what gives us the authority in the earth, and that comes through spiritual growth. And as we continue to pursue the Great Commission, these are the abilities we will have when we truly are operating in the power of his anointing, because we know his word teaches that the power, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. We need the anointing, because without the anointing, there's no way we can cast out a devil. There's no way we can lay hands on the sick. There's no way we can loose these people from all of the bondage that's keeping them bound: alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addiction, pornography. All of these things, family, we have to understand spiritual growth comes through spending time in his presence, spending time in his word, spending time continually in prayer. Dr. Rich, something you do and something you confess is something that you do, is something that you believe in, that prayer and fasting is a key element, because we know that Yeshua said some things can only come about through fasting and praying. So fasting and praying is a key element. So it all boils down to this. In order to have spiritual growth, you have to have a spiritual relationship with the Messiah and with your Elohim. Because without spiritual growth, without a spiritual relationship, there will be no unctioning and no prompting and no, reason or power to go out, you know, something that will push you and motivate you to take hold and really want to keep the Great Commission. Because in order to keep it, you got to perform it. In order to perform it, you got to go out and do it. You just can't sit around. Dr. Rich said we have to come out of the four walls of the buildings. We just have to come out of the four walls of our minds and just make this thing happen. Move with endurance, you know, to get this thing done. Because we have so many people in the community, in our world, you know, out in the marketplace. These people are searching for everything but a relationship with the Messiah. And a lot of people have opening, a dormant place in their hearts and in their lives and their minds. And they feel like they have to replace it with a cigarette or they have to replace it with sex. They have to be, but these people are missing a real relationship with the Yeshua. They're not missing that feeling, that touch, that smell that they're used to. These people are missing a true and honorable relationship with the Messiah. Because when we allow Yeshua to turn our hearts from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, that's conversion, that's transformation. And he said, unless we humble ourselves as little children, you understand, we must humble ourselves. He said, unless we humble ourselves as little children, there is no way we can enter in or inherit the kingdom of God. But we must understand that relationship, communication, and humbleness is just a conglomerate of things that we need to understand. Because when we're pushing the Great Commission, it's like your own private organization. Because there are so many things you have to do, and there are so many ways you have to convey the message of the Great Commission. Because right now we have so many people being tempted and being led astray by so many elements of the world that satisfies them and gives them justification, you know, within themselves, you know, within their flesh. This is what they're desiring. This is what they're feeling to be pleasured within themselves. But the measure is over. They still have to face the hardships of life, the tragedies of life, you know, suicide, you know, all of the things that they struggle with within their mind, Dr. Rich. Spiritual growth.
Wow. That is so amazing,
spiritual
Pastor R. I'm listening.
Amen.
Right, and I'm listening to what you're saying. As I stated about coming out of the four walls, you took it a step further and said, we have to come out of the four walls of our minds. How prophetic is that? I mean, sometimes, and what I took away from that, as I pray that our supporters and Kingdom brothers and sisters would also glean something from it, what I specifically gleaned was when you say that we have to come out of the four walls of our minds, I think of myself and how if I allowed the four walls of my mind to overtake or take precedent over the Great Commission, I wouldn't be open and receptive to people, other people and their personal experiences with Yah. And what I and to go a step further, what I mean by that is I reference him by his Hebrew name, Yahuwah. And so if I allow the four walls of my mind to overtake the Great Commission, then I wouldn't be so receptive. I would be closed-minded. I would be so dogmatic in my approach as to say, you know, that there was no room for me to accept the way that other people call on him, and we're serving the same God. You know, if we're serving the same God, meaning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not going to be angry, bitter, or frustrated because my brother or sister doesn't refer to him as Yahuwah. So coming out of the four walls of my mind also challenges me to be open and to be receptive and to know that there is great work to be done. And just as the disciples, the apostles in the word had their own personalities. They had their own way of doing ministry. You know, you look at Paul, you look at Matthew, you look at Luke, and Stephen. I mean, just so many, and they had their Thomas. You know, they did. They fulfilled the Great Commission. However, they had their own personalities, and they had the blessings of Yeshua to go about doing the works that he commissioned them to do. So I want to come out of the four walls of my mind. I don't want to be a closed-minded kingdom individual. Actually, that's an oxymoron, because how can you be kingdom with a closed mind? So yeah, you really have touched on something for me today, Pastor R. And to our brothers and sisters, I wholeheartedly agree with my pastor and husband that sometimes it's difficult for us to accept this kingdom mandate when we're actually dependent more on drugs, alcohol, sex, any of that kind of stuff. It's difficult for us to do that. So I'm just amazed at what you've touched on today. So we're going to close in prayer. We bring you greetings and love, the love of Yahuwah, because the word tells us that Yah is love. The Bible says God is love, and I'm so thankful to be able to now recognize the true definition of love. And it's not just recently, but it's been since the age of 23 that I recognized what love was, and that was through the definition of love. So thank you so much, Finding My Way family, CEO, Visionary Kayla Padgett, and the entire Finding My Way family. Pastor R, you'll close us out in prayer.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Finding My Way Network and President and CEO Kayla Padgett and her ministry team. I pray that you will give them the commended blessings of our Elohim over their lives and every area of their lives. I pray that you will keep them, bless them, and allow every prayer that comes before you, because you sit in your word, come boldly before your throne of grace and make your petitions known. I pray that you will bless this team, bless her family, and bless the people all around the world. Keep us safe, and we are still waiting and praying for the return of your son's second coming, Yeshua HaMashiach, on the 1,000-year millennial reign. Thank you for your time. Thank you, and thank you for your peace on today. In Yeshua's name we pray, man. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Good day.